Greetings, listeners. This is Amy Showalter with the Engagement Edge, and we'll be talking in this edition about the Grassroots Influence Pulse, specifically part three, which is our univariate correlations. The univariate correlations, these are the factors from the descriptive statistics and data that we shared with you earlier that are associated with legislative success. Not predictive of yet. We'll get to that in the next edition. They are associated with legislative success. And just so that you're aware, what we determine legislative success to be, we gave some wiggle room this year. Normally, I would be very black and white on this. I would say, did your legislation pass or not? Did you kill legislation that you wanted to defeat or not? But we decided to be a little more generous this time, and we're defining it this way. We're looking at legislator behavior. Are they voting with you more than the previous legislative session or the previous year? Are they coming to you asking how they should vote on your issue? That's an important nuance. Not just asking for your opinion or for more information, but when they come to you and say, this bill's being marked up next week, how do you want me to vote? How should I vote? Really, the paragon of where we all want to be in grassroots influence. Are they more open to persuasion? Are they more willing to contemplate and think through issues and to be allow themselves to be persuaded on an issue? And then lastly, are you getting more issue traction? Are more legislators supporting your cause? Are you getting more co-sponsors to legislation than you did in previous years, previous legislative sessions? Are you getting more floor committee votes, more floor votes? Maybe you lost the issue, but you're getting more traction. Okay, so those are our behavioral definitions of legislative success for us in this grassroots influence pulse research. I think behavior is everything when we look at these kinds of studies. So, you know, there are independent variables that point toward, the, you know, that are correlated, that point toward legislative success. There are those that are negatively associated with legislative success, and there are those that just don't attain statistical significance. They're not, they just didn't pop in the research, so we don't even put them into the more rigorous regression analysis, which I'll talk with you about in the next edition. So let's talk about the things that are associated with legislative success. Again, these are tactics that are associated with it. There's 12 that are associated with it. Phone calls, face-to-face meetings, engaging third-party stakeholders, engaging members of an advocacy program. Now, here's a nuance with members. I didn't say that you were engaging everyone in your universe. I said members of an advocacy program. So these are people who have signed up to be in the program. It's opt-in permission marketing, shall we say, people who are more committed to an organization. You're not just sending things to everyone. That's it's a nuance. I think it's an important one. Next, engaging all organizational stakeholders. Okay, so there's a difference there. We have engaging members or engaging everyone. Right now, both are associated with success. Conducting advocacy training, having advocacy teams in the states, an increase in the number of your PAC contributors is associated with legislative success. Sending personal non-form emails to regulators, I thought that was a very interesting finding because it tells me that there probably is a really strong culture of engagement with, obviously, regulators, but also, you know, many different spheres in the legislative environment. If you've got advocates that are willing and able to send non-form emails, personal emails, commenting on regulations, I think you have a pretty strong advocacy culture. I think you probably have a good advocacy culture, and you probably do lots of other things well too. Larger PAC contributions popped in this as well. Okay, so those are 12 things associated. Not predictive of, but they're just things that we want to pay attention to that impact legislative success. And The ones that really popped to me, as I mentioned earlier, were the non-form emails to regulators. Again, we have the political action piece coming out as well. We also have the phone call piece. And I think that was probably due to COVID and that people, yeah, they did virtual meetings and so forth. But I think what's interesting is that you didn't see virtual meetings pop up on this. You saw face-to-face and phone calls. So we can communicate in a little more authentic way. You know, and the virtual meetings are great, but you all know this. In those virtual Zoom meetings, what happens? You've got people just staring at the screen, not emoting, not being animated. It's not a real engaging way to communicate. A phone call can be more engaging, perhaps. And so the groups who were encouraging people to call elected officials, we found that to be more associated with their success. Now, let's go to the dark side. Tactics that attained negative significance. And these people reported, the people that did these things I'm going to share with you, these four things, they reported less legislative success. They admitted we were not as successful. And here's the things that they did. These were people, and this is in order of the correlation, meaning the strength of the statistic. Number one, they halted their PAC contributions. Nobody wants to talk about it, but there's a two-way street in legislative influence. So halting PAC contributions was not good for people. Difficulty in recruiting due to a toxic political environment. We asked people if recruiting was volunteers was easier or more difficult than in the past. The people who said it was difficult, they could indicate why. And people that said it was easier could indicate why as well. These people who said it was difficult due to a toxic political environment. And they also, and this is the last one on here, they also said they had difficulty in recruiting due to a crisis. So what we found, as you may have heard in the previous edition of the Engagement Edge, in part two of the GRIP research results, is that people who found it easier to recruit attributed the same reasons to that ease of recruitment as those who found it more difficult. So to me, it means that this is where the leader's behavior comes in. There's something different in that leader. And we didn't ask a lot about grassroots leader behavior. Maybe we'll do that in the future. But there's something here, and maybe we can all discuss this at a future time. I'm not really sure why. I don't know why their mindset is the way it is, but people who were not successful, they might have had a, you know, throw my hands up, give up attitude because of the toxic political environment, whereas others, that seemed to help them for one reason or another. So we do always find in this kind of research, there are things where you kind of scratch your head occasionally and you have to discuss with the community. So here are some things that did not attain significance. They were not positively correlated with legislative success or negatively correlated. They just didn't matter. The number of records in your database, the number of your stakeholders, this does not matter. And this is a perennial finding that the numbers, the volume, the quantity of engagement, it doesn't matter. It's not a factor. It's not associated with being successful. There are other things that matter more than that. And again, that's why we do this GRIP research, so that you can determine how to spend your time, so you can look at what matters most. And I know many of you are pressured by board members in your associations and by other executives in your organizations, other leaders who want you to have a certain number of people in your program, and they want your message to get a certain number of impressions. And we find that it doesn't lead to success. It's not a bad thing to do. I suppose it can't hurt, but you have to ask yourself, what am I not doing that will lead to success? Because I'm spending time on this type of an activity that really isn't going to matter in the long run. That's the question for you. Next tactic that did not attain significance was the number of grassroots mobilizations. Isn't that interesting? We always think that once we get our people riled up and excited about an issue and, you know, all hands on deck on a particular issue, that's, you know, just the more we talk about it, the more we engage them, the more we get them in a state of concern, we will be successful. Not so. Also, we found that any of the following communications mediums were not associated with success. The following, not associated with success. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm saying it doesn't matter as much as other things, okay? Social media messages to lawmakers, okay? So you're on Twitter and you're tagging that lawmaker in your tweet, asking them to vote for or against something. Emails to lawmakers, text messages to lawmakers, video meetings with lawmakers. Isn't that interesting? Video meetings. Doesn't point to success. However, phone calls and face-to-face meetings do. Again, I'm not saying don't do video. I'm not saying don't send text messages. I am saying do what matters most. And those don't really raise the bar for your results. The last two, the length of one's advocacy training session and internal issue allegiance research, as I call it. So you think, well, why did you ask about advocacy training and so forth? We have found it, that it popped in other surveys relative to legislative success. Well, actually, whether you do it or not was a predictor in the past. And so that's why we've included it. And because we know that some groups that have done that more and spent more time on it did turn out to be more successful. But I attribute this very much to the COVID situation. People weren't doing training as much. And so it just wasn't a tactic that was used quite as much. And therefore, it wasn't used as much, so it's not pointing to anything. And then lastly, internal issue research. We include this because we found it popped in previous research because we've noticed that groups are very excited about getting external audiences to contact legislators on their behalf and so forth, but they didn't seem to care about their own internal members. And I thought, well, that's interesting. If you can't get your own family, your own stakeholders involved in something, wouldn't that be a signal that there's something wrong with your message, the messenger, or something in that? So that's why we include it. But it did not attain significance this time. Didn't seem to matter. And again, probably because organizations might have felt a bit guilty about asking their people to weigh in on certain issues because COVID and pandemic relief and so forth, those kinds of issues were so predominant that they didn't want to even engage on other things, or they felt that it was just asking too much of people to complete a survey. Survey fatigue is real. So again, we have legislative success to review. Legislative success defined as legislators who vote with you more, who ask you how they should vote, who are more open to persuasion, and you have issue traction. There are more legislators publicly supporting your cause. And then we find that there are about 12 things that point to that in terms of our correlations. There are several interesting ones in there. The most interesting to me was the existence of state advocacy teams, the whole phone call dynamic, and also having larger, the higher the PAC contribution, pointing towards legislative success. Then we have our negative things that are negatively associated, meaning you're going to lose more. These people reported losing more. These are people who halted PAC contributions. And these are people who had challenges with the toxic political environment, and they had challenges recruiting people because of a crisis. And then we have the items that did not attain significance that were neither positive or negative. They just don't matter. And that's number of records in the database. That's the big finding for me, again, that it's a perennial favorite of things that don't matter is just trying to get a lot of names in your database. And then the whole piece on social media messages and text messages to lawmakers, video meetings with lawmakers, just not pointing towards legislative success positively or negatively. So again, what are you spending your time doing? What are you doing? Are you doing what gives you the biggest return? If you would like a copy of the GRIP top line, and this is for government relations professionals, if you are a service provider, there's a fee for that. So just let me know. We'll find out who you are and where you are, and we'll get it to you one way or another. Send me an email, info@showaltergroup.com, amy@showaltergroup.com, or I think you can send it to GRIP, GRIP@showaltergroup.com. In our next edition, I will be sharing with you the predictors, the predictors, and then what some of the stability findings are over the years. We only had three main predictors this year. We really winnow it down. That's why I love this research, is because we don't just look at a bunch of descriptive data and say, oh, this is what people are doing, let's do that. We are able to determine through our algorithms what really, really matters. All right, so this is Amy with the Engagement Edge. I'll be with you next time soon.